All right, go over to Philippians 4:19. And this is outside of the Philippians series. We're usually in our Philippians series on Sunday morning, but this is a special message. And I had spent the week on the message for Philippians 3 and thought I was all ready. Then last night at dinner, my wife says, well, shouldn't it be a New Year's message? My initial reaction is, you know, like, get thee behind me, Carrie. Because I had worked so hard on the other message. But I knew it was the Lord. I mean, don't you hate that? And so last night at dinner time, I said, well, going to be a different message. And Taylor's going, what? Do you realize that church is tomorrow morning? I'm going, yeah, well, so we'll see what happens. We have a New Year's message. But I wanted to start off. I knew Carrie was right when she was saying that, because you want to start off the New Year's with a message that is encouraging. And because New Year's time, it's always a time of reflection, isn't it? You always look back on the year behind you. And as you look forward to the year in front of you, I mean, you can look forward with a lot of anxiety. There can be things that are troubling you, wondering what is in store for you. But the great thing about being Christians is we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the new year in front of us, but there are some things we're certain of, right? And it's those things that we're certain of we carry with us. And that's what gives us peace no matter what we go through. And so that's where I want to concentrate today. We're going to talk a little bit about needs, but just to get you thinking that way. But what I want to concentrate on is God's great provision. And so here is our outline. We have the great need, the great provider, the great supply, the great resource, and the great channel. We're going to see that all in Philippians 4:19. Let's read that. It says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That is a great verse to go into the New Year's with. Let's pray before we dig into the study. Father, we do thank you that we carry with us into the new year your truth, the truth that you are a great provider. The truth is that we can rest in you and look forward with great anticipation because we have a Father who loves us, who has promised to take care of us, who has promised to be with us. And so, Lord, I pray as we look into this scripture, into this passage, I pray that you would open our hearts, speak to our minds, illuminate this truth to us, and give us the comfort that this truth is meant to bring. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at verse 19 there again. Here's our first heading, the great need. It says, and my God will supply every need. Now, I don't know where you're at exactly, and I don't know how you look into 2011, but I do know that you have needs. Every one of us have needs. I mean, you may have great temporal needs, and what I mean is you may have financial needs as you look into 2011, and you may be thinking, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. And I've been hearing rumors about layoffs at work, and I just don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out, and that can be troubling you. I don't see how it would be possible for me to meet the needs of my family in 2011. That may be how you're looking into the new year. You may have physical needs. You may be looking into 2011 with questions hanging over you about your health. And you're wondering, you've been to the doctors maybe already, and you're waiting on the diagnosis. What's it going to be like for me? Am I going to be healthy? And if I'm not, am I going to have the strength to walk with the Lord, to serve Him, and to handle this with a peace and a joy? It may be a need for strength. Maybe a need for strength for schoolwork or for work in general. I mean, you just have needs. And so I don't want to spend the rest of the study pointing out all the needs. They're numerous, aren't they? In each one of your minds, you can fill in the blank and say, this is a need, and I'm worried about this. So you have temporal needs. You also have spiritual needs, don't you? We all have spiritual needs. What about the need of forgiveness because of our sin? Listen, unless you plan on perfection in 2011, you're going to need forgiveness. Praise God, the promise is that His blood continuously cleanses us. He meets that need. You may be in need because of the spiritual warfare that you face or will face. We all, if we're walking with Jesus, the devil doesn't like it. And the devil rages against us. And he rages against this church. He hates new churches. And so we're going to have a need of spiritual strength because of the warfare that we're going to face. That strength that sustains us so that we don't lose hope. That strength that keeps us from being overwhelmed. We have spiritual needs as far as the work in the kingdom, any kind of work you're doing, whether it's in Sunday school, whether it's ushering, whether it's on the sound, whether it's up here in a pulpit. No, I don't care what you're doing for the Lord, for you to do it effectively with Christ-likeness in it, you're going to need His strength, aren't you? We don't do anything in the flesh effectively for the kingdom. And so we need Him. We have spiritual needs because Christianity doesn't remove suffering. We want it to, but it doesn't. And when it's our turn to face the flames of affliction, we're going to need God's strength. And so we have tremendous temporal needs and we have tremendous spiritual needs as we look into 2011. Like I said, I've only listed a few because I don't want to spend all the time on the negative. What I want to do is spend our time on the positive. A God who is a need-meeting God who has given us promises. So the verse before us is an incredible verse. It tells us that as we go into 2011, we go in with a promise that we can carry that expands. See that? It expands to meet all of our needs, doesn't it? It says every need. God will supply every need. So I don't care what your needs are. This promise expands to meet it. If they're small or if they're large, if they're massive, this is a massive promise that says God will meet those needs. So this is a promise then that is designed to do what? Defeat worry. Right? It is a promise designed to defeat worry and anxiety, and it is a promise designed to give us peace and victory. Confidence in our God. Now, let's look at the second heading then. We've seen, first of all, the great need. Now let's look at the great provider. Look at verse 19 to see who this is for. Who is this promise for? Verse 19, "And my God will supply every need." And my God. Those two words, those are great words. Words that are meant to encourage every believer. If you're a believer here this morning, those two words are for you. My God. You may feel so weak. You may have come in here feeling so insignificant. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Are you a believer? Then those words are for you. You can say, my God, and you can say, my Father. And so this verse is for you. Think about what that means. When you read the Bible and see how wonderfully God provides for His saints, that means you need to personalize that. Because that comes from your God, your Father. You need to say, you know what? That is how He thinks about me. Right? I mean, when you see God providing for anybody in the Scriptures, when you see Him loving anybody in the Scriptures, that is how He feels about you too, because it says He shows no favoritism. There's no first-class kids and second-class kids. There are not that group of kids where He goes, you know what, Abraham and David and Elijah and Gideon, I really love those guys. They're special. But those other guys, you know, I don't know. I kind of wish I didn't have them. There's none of that in the kingdom. He shows no favoritism. When He provided for Moses and Abraham and David and Elijah and loved them and did miracles in their life, He wants to do the same thing for you. He loves you just the same way. He desires to provide for you just as much. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom. The question would be then, is He your God? Can you look at Philippians 4:19 and see those two words, my God, and say, yeah, right, my God. My promise, because it's my God. My Father. And I'm not just saying, do you go to church? What I'm saying is, have you seen your need of a Savior? Have you seen that you can't do it on your own? And have you gone to Him and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me. I trust in the work of Your Son on my behalf. I'm not trying to earn my way into heaven. I am trusting what You've done for me. I believe in Your Son. Have mercy on me and save me. I trust You. Listen, if you've done that, if you've gone to Him like that, then you can look at this promise and say, my God. My God, therefore, my promise. This promise is for me. My God will meet all my needs. That's what he says. Now notice it doesn't say wants. Let's go ahead and clear that up real quick, because I think we have live in a church age where we're thinking God's up there saying, I'll meet all your wants, just claim it. And so if you're out there thinking, you know what? This Christmas, I wanted a Lexus, and I'm still driving around in whatever you're driving. Or this Christmas, you know what? I wanted that big screen TV, those 3D models. Sweet. And nada. Listen, that's not what it's saying. God's not promising that he's going to give us 3D TVs and fancy cars and all of that. But he does say, tell you what, every need you have, I promise you that I'll take care of that. What a comfort, isn't it? To head into 2011 with a promise like that. My God and my loving Father has committed himself to providing for all of my needs. He desires to meet my needs. He knows how to meet my needs, and he has the means to meet my needs. Listen, we're talking about the creator of the universe here. He has the resources, and he has the tools to meet our needs. When he decides to meet your needs, you know what? All creation is subservient to your necessity. You realize that? Spurgeon said this, "Remember that omnipotence has servants everywhere, and when you have a need, he's willing to use those servants everywhere to meet that need." See it throughout the scriptures, don't we? Elijah needed food. No problem. God just sends special delivery ravens with it. The children of Israel out in the wilderness, they're saying, you know what, we're thirsty. No problem. God's just going to send some water from the rock. God has the means to meet your needs, and he is willing to use whatever it takes to do it. And you know, have you noticed that he is very creative? I'm always amazed at how God's meeting my needs. And I have learned long ago, Bill, quit trying to figure out how he's going to do it. You know why? Because he never does it the way I think he's going to. I remember when we'd have financial needs and you go to the mailbox every day and you're looking and going, Lord, bring a check or something. Never came that way. Always came in unusual ways. I'm sure Elijah didn't think, you know what, I'm hungry. Can't wait for the ravens to show up. The children of Israel out in the wilderness, we're thirsty. Man, that rock's looking good over there. But God is creative. He's a genius at meeting needs, and he does it in a way that brings him glory. And so I've just quit trying to figure it out now. I'm just going, you know what, there's promises, Lord. You said, that settles it. And so, Lord, I just anticipate that you're going to do it. I don't have a clue how, but Lord, I know it's going to excite me. I know you're going to do it in a way that brings you glory. And so he is going to meet our needs. Look at the next one. Next one is the great supply. Verse 19 again. And my God will supply every need of yours, or my God will meet every need of yours. Now, supply is a wonderful word. The full meaning of the word is lost in our translations, but it means this: to fill to the top so that nothing is wanting. To fill to the brim. In other words, God doesn't meet some needs and leave others wanting. He doesn't meet needs halfway to where you're just kind of scraping by, I think it's met. It says that God meets needs. Filled to the top so that nothing's wanting. God is not a halfway sort of God, is he? Have you noticed that? Whatever that need is, temporal or spiritual, he meets it fully. That's the promise there. But he will do it. Now get this. Again, he will do it in his own time. Because I'm really good at this. I have a need and I want it met right now. And I don't want it met in an hour from now. I don't want it met tomorrow. I don't want it met 2 weeks from now. Lord, here's my need. Where is it? But you've got to realize it's going to be met in God's timing. And you need to realize that God knows what your true needs are. Sometimes God looks into your life and says, you know what? What he needs or she needs is patience. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold off the provision to let them grow in patience or to let their faith increase. I want perseverance. I want them to be praying about this. And I want them to pray about it again tomorrow and again the next day, and again the day after that. And for a while, I want them to be praying and trusting. I want to increase their faith. Because we're like little kids, aren't we? You know, we're ready to panic because God hasn't met our needs in a couple hours, a couple days. And God says, I want you to be perseverant. I want your faith to be stretched. I want you to trust me for this over an extended period of time. This is what's good for you. This is what you need. And so I'm not going to meet that need immediately. I will meet it, but you have a greater need. And so in my timing, it's going to be met. And so that's what we need to rely on, right? As we see promises like this, and as we're praying daily, we need to say, Lord, you have said you are going to meet my needs. And I trust you for that. And just because you haven't yet, I'm trusting you for that in your timing and in your way. And I am not going to doubt you. I'm going to keep trusting. And as we trust Him, and as we trust Him, and as we keep praying, and as we believe, our faith is getting stronger and stronger. It's getting more perseverant. And so sometimes that's what we need. But God will meet your needs. That's the bottom line. It's coming. He's going to meet your needs. And to show you how He does it in His time and His own way, go over to 2 Kings 4. I want to show you the creativity of God here. 2 Kings 4, obviously Old Testament. And here we're going to see a lady that maybe you can relate to right now. 2 Kings 4, we're going to see the urgent need, then we're going to see the generous supply. The urgent need. Look at 2 Kings 4:1. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." I mean, this lady is in dire straits. She has a great debt. Her husband has died. She can't pay her bills. And to pay off the debt, the creditors are coming, and they are going to take her sons away and make them slaves. Imagine the brokenness of that woman as she thinks about her own boys being taken off to become slaves. How heartbreaking that would be. And also, those boys were her only means of support. So everything, it looks like it's going to be ripped out of her life. She is in dire straits. She does the right thing. She seeks God by going to Elisha. And so she goes to Elijah, and in verse 2, we get Elijah speaking back, Elijah's response. And Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in your house." And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Now that shows the extent of her poverty. There's nothing in my home. The cupboards are bare. There's one little jar of oil. That's all I've got. Now can you relate? Some of you this morning may be able to relate to that. I feel like it's all gone. Like there's nothing left. But notice the generous supply in verse 3 through 6. Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. So he says, go get jars from everybody you can think of and just close the door and start pouring the oil into these jars. And this one little jar of oil filled up all these jars until there were no jars left. The only reason the oil stopped was because there was no more jars. They were all filled to the brim, not halfway. Then look at verse 7. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." I love that. The supply was not only to meet her temporal needs, but it also took care of her future needs. She is able to pay off her immediate debts. Her sons are able to stay with her, and they're living off of what God has done. Now that's creativity, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure she didn't see that one coming. "I'll just pour this oil into a bunch of jars and we'll sell it, guys." I mean, you would look at her and go, "You're nuts." But God was creative. And God provided all of her needs. He has a plan. Listen, He has a plan for your life that will work. Now, why are stories like that in the Bible? You ever ask yourself, what a weird story. Why is that in the Bible? Let me tell you why that's in the Bible. Well, for one reason, to show us what God is like in our time of need. It is meant to build our confidence in Him. It is meant to dispel fear and encourage faith. Even when it looks hopeless to me, even when I can look at my life and I see absolutely nothing, it seems so helpless. How am I going to meet needs? Wait a minute. Look what God did for this widow. I can relate to her. That's what I feel like. And God moved in power and met all of her needs. It's meant to dispel fear and to encourage faith. Then the next question is, do you feel like that widow tonight? You gaze into 2011 and you're filled with fear. Many needs are pressing upon you. This passage shouts out to you, trust your loving Father. Trust Him. Your needs are those empty jars for God to fill. Do you see that? Those needs are opportunities for God to display His love and greatness in your life through. See, to this widow, her needs were nothing but calamities, right? I mean, her husband's gone. Her sons are going to be hauled off. She's got debtors breathing down her neck. And to her, it's just nothing but a disaster. Did God look at that trouble in the same way? Disaster? God said, no, this is just opportunities for me to show you how much I love you. Opportunity for me to show you how great I am. Opportunities for me to display my love and power to you. And think of this. In her need, she saw the greatness of God in a way she could have never seen in prosperity. Right? All things work for the good. Do you think she came out of the end of that and thinking, oh, that's terrible. I wish that would have never happened. I'm sure she came out of the end of that thinking, how great is God? I'm sure she was the greatest witness in the kingdom. Let me tell you what God just did. This is amazing. She would have never been like that if it would have just been prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. And so God took that, what seemed like a calamity, used it as an opportunity, and glorified Himself and showed her how great He really is. Her faith grew, her love for Him grew, and it just shows how all things work for our good. Now I've got another example. Thinking of George Mueller this time, he was in need, and listen to this story. Things looked bleak for the children in George Mueller's orphanage at Ashley Downs in England. It was time for breakfast and there was no food. A small girl whose father was a close friend of Mueller was visiting in the home. Mueller took her hand and said, come and see what our father will do. In the dining room, long tables were set with empty plates and empty mugs. Not only was there no food in the kitchen, but there was no money in the home's account. Mueller prayed, dear Father, we thank Thee for what Thou art going to give us to eat. Immediately they heard a knock at the door. When they opened it, there stood the local baker. Mr. Mueller, he said, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you had no bread for breakfast, so I got up at 2 o'clock and baked fresh bread. Here it is. Mueller thanked him and gave praise to God. Soon a second knock was heard. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. He said he would like to give the children the milk so he could empty the cart and repair it. Why could George Mueller pray with such confidence? Because he had seen God take care of the children many times before. I love that. Oh, what a great attitude. Come, let's see what our Father will do. Again, for most of us, those empty plates would have been a time of crisis, wouldn't they? I mean, that would have been time for us to panic. Right? What do you do when you have empty plates? You panic. For George Mueller, those empty plates presented an exciting possibility. Let's see what the Father's going to do. Empty plate, opportunity. Let's see what He's going to do. I'm excited about this. Simply another chance to see God's greatness and love on display. Now, there's a couple of lessons here I saw in this story. First of all, he said, dear Father, we thank Thee for what Thou art going to give us to eat. He thanked God in advance. That's faith, isn't it? When you can look at situations and say, God, doesn't look good, but I thank You because You have promised. That's faith. And so he thanked Him in advance. I thank You for what You're going to provide. Now, why did he have such confidence? What was his confidence built off of? because he had seen God move in the past. So he was looking out at the future and saying, I thank you, God, for what you're going to do, because I've seen you move in the past and you've always been faithful. That's what he says. He says, why could George Mueller pray with such confidence? It tells us because he had seen God take care of the children many times before. Now let me ask you, as you're looking into 2011, can't you say the same thing? Can't you look into 2011 and all of your needs and say, I can look at those needs with confidence. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do because you've never let me down yet. I've got 30 years with God, and I can say, God, 30 years, I have seen you be faithful. You have never let me down yet. And so, God, why would you start now? And so I can look into 2011 and whatever those needs are and say, God, I trust you to meet those needs because I've got 30 years of a track record behind me where every need's been met. You've always been faithful. Can't you say the same thing? He's got a pretty good track record in your life, doesn't he? I know in my life, his track record is this. Well, perfect. And so why would he ruin a perfect record now in 2011? He won't. So I can trust him for that. Remember, our Lord is the same God that filled those jars for that widow. He is the same God that moves so mightily and so often in the life of George Mueller. And he is the same God who has always been faithful to you. And he says, I'll be faithful to you in 2011, just like I've always been. Trust me. Honor me with your faith. So all this enables us to look into 2011 with confidence. Now, what are we seeing? We all have great needs, but we have a great provider who has promised to meet every one of our needs. But now, in this next section, I want to show you how he'll meet those needs. I mean, does he have the resources? Let's look at the great resource. Verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know what that's saying? That is saying God not only has the desire to meet our needs, he has the resources. He has the means. That's good because desire alone's not enough, is it? My grandmother used to always say to me, she'd say, honey, if I was rich, I would buy you a house. And I'd say, oh, thanks, Grandma. She never had any money. So the desire was wonderful. I appreciate that. But with no money, it didn't help. The desire didn't help. Great thing about this is God, as a loving Father, says, I have the desire and I have the resources. It says, according to his riches. That's a very important phrase because somebody can meet your needs out of their riches, or they can meet your needs according to their riches. Let me explain the difference here. Let's say I went up to a millionaire. Let's make it a billionaire. I went up to a billionaire and said, you know what? We've got this wonderful ministry going on. I want to know if you would help support it. He said, sure. And he writes a check for $10. That is meeting our needs out of his riches. In other words, it's not proportionate to how much money he has. But if he meets our needs according to his riches, that would be me going up and saying, you know, we have this wonderful ministry. Do you want to help support it? He says, sure. And he writes a check for $100,000. Well, that would be proportionate to the amount of money that he has. That is according to his riches. And that is what this is saying. This is the promise. God will meet your needs according to his riches. So what does God have? A lot. He has a lot of resources, doesn't he? Everything is his. All of creation is his estate. From the farthest star to the lowest depth of the sea, he owns it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he paves his streets with gold. He's got a lot. He's got the resources to meet your needs. And according to those riches, he provides everything we need. I've got a story here. The story is told that one day a beggar by the roadside asked for alms from Alexander the Great as he passed by. The man was poor and wretched and had no claim upon the ruler, no right even to lift a solicitous hand. Yet the emperor threw him several gold coins. A courtier was astonished at his generosity and commented, "Sir, copper coins would adequately meet a beggar's need. Why give him gold?" Alexander responded in royal fashion. Copper coins would suit the beggar's need, but gold coins suit Alexander's giving. You know what? Miserly giving doesn't suit one as generous as God. He provides well. He really wants to take care of us. And He owns the universe. He has enough to take care of us. All I'm trying to say here, I'm not saying God's going to give us fancy homes and brand new cars and all that. You know what? I care less about that stuff. That's the costume jewelry of the world. I just want Jesus. But what it is saying is that God will meet your needs generously. He's not miserly. He's a loving Father. And again, what this is meant to do when we look at things like this, it's meant to pry the worry out of your heart. And it is meant to put a confidence in God to where we honor Him with our faith. Why aren't you afraid? Trust my Father. I have a loving Father who said He's going to take care of me. That's why I'm not afraid. The Father who can't lie has promised to meet every one of your needs. And then last one, real quick. The great channel of blessing, verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Notice that? This promise is to a very narrow audience, isn't it? This is not a promise to the world. This is a promise to those who have come to the Father by faith in His Son. And that's all. It's to those alone. So if you have rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior, this promise is not for you. But if you see your need and you come to Him, say, save me, have mercy on me, I need you, then you can say, my God and my promise. So let's conclude this then. This is encouragement, isn't it, for the believer? What an encouraging verse this is. And if you've been waiting and say, well, it doesn't seem like my needs are being met. Hang on. They will be. But God obviously at this point is seeing a greater need. Maybe He's building up your faith. He's working in you patience. But you can cling to this promise and say, at the perfect time, never a second too late. Never a second too late. My needs will be met. And they'll be met in a way that brings Him glory. Again, remember His track record. He's never failed you yet, and He's not going to start now. I love this story. Another story here. It said, a train filled with passengers was speeding along its route that crossed a number of rivers. Looking out the window, a child saw the treacherous waters in the distance and was afraid they could not reach the opposite bank. But as they came closer, a bridge appeared, and soon the danger was behind them. Each time this occurred, the youngster was very much disturbed until they had safely crossed to the other side. Finally, however, she leaned back and said with confidence, somebody has put bridges for us all the way. Isn't that good? Listen, that's the way it is for us. When we become a brand new believer, we see all of these problems and we panic and all that, and we find that God takes care of it. Then another problem, we panic, God takes care of it. And eventually, we come to the point where we go, hey, wait a minute. I think God's put up bridges all the way to glory. He's going to take care of every need. We're not going to crash and burn. And we begin to rest in Him. There's always that bridge of provision, isn't there? And that's the promise. I'll meet every need. So, close with this. How do you look into 2010? With fear or with faith? Fear. So many empty jars. How am I going to make ends meet? Faith. Let's see what the Father will do. These are opportunities for Him to glorify Himself. He's always filled those empty jars in the past, and I know He's going to in the future. I'll just trust. My prayer is that your new year will be one that is filled with God, filled with trusting Him, anticipating His movements in your life, eagerly looking for it. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. What a verse. Cast how many? What's the Greek mean there? It means cast all. All means all. Whatever is burdening you right now, God says, give it to me. You're not built to handle it. Give it to me. I'll take care of you. I promise. Cast it on him. I want to close with this. I've got some words from Spurgeon. I've said that third time I said I'd want to close, I think. Remember I said this a couple weeks ago? What's it mean when a preacher says finally? Nothing. So, there we go. Spurgeon's words. And I promise we'll close with this. You're meddling with Christ's business and neglecting your own when you fret about your lot and circumstances. You have been attempting the providing work and forgetting that it is your work to obey. Be wise and attend to the obeying, and let Christ manage the providing. Come and survey your Father's storehouse and ask whether He will let you starve while He has laid up so great an abundance in His garner. Look at His heart of mercy. See if that can ever prove unkind. Look at His inscrutable wisdom. See if that will ever be at fault. Above all, look up to Jesus Christ, your intercessor, and ask yourself, while He pleads, can your Father deal ungraciously with you? If He remembers even sparrows, will He forget one of the least of His poor children? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we enter into 2011 with great promises, a book filled with Your assurance that You are going to take care of us. Lord, forgive us for our unbelief. Fill our hearts with God-honoring faith, God-honoring confidence. So, Lord, we look into 2011 with an eager anticipation to see what our God is going to do in our life, to see how You're going to provide, how You're going to fill empty jars. Lord, and we thank You that everything we think is a crisis in Your mind is simply an opportunity to show us how great You are, how loving You are, how creative You are in providing for Your children. So, Lord, I pray that this coming new year will be a year we draw near to You, that we have a greater trust in You, that our hearts would be filled with a greater affection for You. Lord, I pray that 2011 will be a Christ-saturated year for us, for Saving Grace Community Church. Do a wonderful work here. In Jesus' name, amen.